I don't think there's going to be an I'm Oscar website this time.
I think this time I'll do a podcast.
This is the Sarcastic Voyage Podcast.
This is podcast number 5, featuring Ron Algar-Watt and Matt Robotham, answering listener mail.
We are with you once again. Unfortunately, we are without guest this week. Our scheduled guest will be back with us soon. She had some unfortunate technical difficulties, so it's just me and Matt.
That would be me.
That's Matt.
Hi.
Fortunately, we do have quite a bit of mail from you people, from the listeners.
To trust me, the shock of both of us.
Yeah. Apparently, people are listening to the show and willing to give us input, which is fan-goddamn-tastic.
Fucking fascinating.
We appreciate it, of course. And
yeah.
We are always here to answer these questions. And doing an entire show of this is fine with me, but
answering questions in a retarded manner is actually kind of how we met.
It is, really. But that's not that interesting a story. So let's move on.
I guess that's true.
Shan't we? I was trying to think a little ahead there. Like, well, let me tell this story. No. No,
there's not really a story here. Yeah. We just sort of think it's funny to answer retarded questions.
Yeah, we both, you know, like Dave Barry and other people who did it before him. And just, you know, that's pretty much it.
Yeah.
So with that said, on with the questions. Our first question comes from last week's guest, Chris Coleman, a.k.a. Fourth Man.
Hooray.
He says, please tell me what I should think about the new Avatar teaser trailer. Good overall, but the cartoonishness, I fear it. Have you seen this?
I haven't actually seen the Avatar trailer, so I'm going to say feel, I don't know, frightened and a little moist.
Really?
Yeah, sure, why not?
I saw it, and actually that, the moistness, not so much. Maybe kind of a dampness. But
There's no moistness in this movie?
No, well, there's a distinct difference between dampness and moistness. I would say
that's true.
Some damp, no, not really so much moist. I was having this conversation with Amanda. She actually doesn't care for the films of James Cameron. It kind of surprised me. What say you?
Well, he made Aliens, which is one of my favorite movies ever.
All right.
Did he make both of the good Terminators?
Yes. He made Terminator 1
okay.
and 2, yes.
Okay, those were both excellent.
Yes.
He made Titanic, which was a shame.
I think Titanic gets a bum deal, and I'll tell you why. I didn't think it was great. I don't ever feel like watching it again, but I think it was an all right movie. I think it suffered from overhype and too many awards, and I think
it suffered from being too long, too boring, and containing far too much Celine Dion.
That's fair. But, you know, it also had what's-her-name's breasts, and that kind of overpowered basically everything else for me.
I will tell you the one thing I liked about Titanic.
Yeah.
When that guy hits the fan.
I don't remember that.
There's this great part where the boat's sinking and some dude falls off the back of the boat and hits the rotor on the back of the boat and
nice.
Just goes dong and I went bah ha.
I bet you didn't. I bet you went ah!
Yes.
All right. Just so we could get that straight. Okay.
Folks, now you get to hear it from both of us.
Right. What else? He did True Lies, which I actually haven't actually seen.
I never saw True Lies. That had Joe Don Baker in it, though.
What?
I think it did.
I think you're full of crap.
No, I think it had Joe Don Baker in it.
If you've gone into Wikipedia ahead of me...
Are you checking now?
Yes, I am.
Okay, while you're checking, I'm going to sing the Al's Looking for Stuff on the Web song.
I'm already here.
Oh, well, good. That saves us both some problems.
Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jamie Lee Curtis, Tom Arnold, Bill Paxton, Art Malik, Tia Carrere, Eliza Dushku. Did not know that, but not listed.
No, Joe Don Baker.
And Charlton Heston, apparently. Well, he's not
Maybe
listed.
Maybe that's who I'm thinking of.
How the fuck could you confuse Charlton Heston and Joe Don Baker?
Two guys that'll punch you if you talk to them.
Well, you'd need a shovel to talk to Charlton
Heston.
Well,
yes, but back in their day.
I really...
I don't think Joe Don Baker actually has a day, but...
I really just think comparing Moses to Mitchell is really a bit of a stretch. And thank you for giving me the opportunity to be alliterative, because that don't usually have that ideal.
That sounds like it should be an expletive. Moses to Mitchell.
It sounds like it should be some kind of a Stan Lee, like. And I'm typing, so I can't think of jokes at the same time. So you're gonna have to
written by marvelous Mark.
Wow, so your Dr. Venture is also your Stan Lee, huh?
Yeah, exactly. And
he also did The Abyss, which I quite liked.
And drawn by Moses to Mitchell.
I'm gonna stop you right here and say that your Stan Lee is a 100% failure.
This is the part where I cry.
However, we have established in pre-show, and hopefully we'll work it in here, that there are some voices you can do, and certainly it's not my intent to just say, you know, you can't do any, but Stan Lee, not so much.
Yeah. Do you record the pre-show too?
I do, actually.
This is probably not the best time for me to learn that 4 episodes in.
I record everything. I keep everything. I'm like Richard Nixon. Every IM we've had, every phone conversation, it's all recorded.
That's not creepy.
I'm not even kidding. This started back in the day when you and I would sort of brainstorm projects, and rather than try to remember the jokes we came up with, I would just have it on, and really collaborative writing sometimes happens spontaneously, and it's better to just have it all there.
And also for blackmail purposes.
Well, of course, that goes without saying. Behind the water pipes. What? Damn it, I can't remember the rest of that. Okay, anyway, so James Cameron...
Did you plant a pistol behind the toilet?
What? No. I was doing the Python blackmail game show.
Oh, okay, I was thinking of The Godfather.
Well, I'm usually thinking of The Godfather.
Yes.
But this time, not so much. So I would say James Cameron, he did The Abyss, which I liked. So
I never saw The Abyss, but I want to.
Good movie. Watch the director's cut, way different, way better.
All right.
So overall, I would say I'm a James Cameron fan.
Yeah, there are definitely movies that James Cameron has done that I like.
There are more movies that he's done that I like that I don't like. That said, I saw the trailer and I wasn't quite sure what to make of it either, I'm afraid to say. It looked like the first part of it looked very sci-fi. The second part of it looked very fantasy. It appears that there are science fiction people, like a crew on a spaceship or something like that. And then they end up in a fantasy world. So like...
I think I've seen that.
I don't know.
Not that, but one of the many variations on that theme.
Yeah. But I mean, it didn't look bad. It has a lot to prove to me, I'll say, because it didn't look like I've been waiting 12 years to see that. You know?
Yeah. Here's the thing. I really want to watch good science fiction movies.
Oh,
like,
absolutely.
You know, like that would be, if given the choice, the movies I want to see most of all are science fiction movies and horror movies, and preferably science fiction horror movies.
Well, and these are both genres that I think you'll agree are 90% crap, 10% good.
Yeah, exactly.
And the 10% is awesome, but really it's hard to get like the uninitiated. Like I thought I hated horror movies for the longest time. Because I watched one, it was terrible.
Now you just hate shit.
Yeah, but playing the odds, chances are if I rent a horror movie, it's going to be shit.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, there are genres that really lend themselves to terrible, terrible writing.
Absolutely. And I have to say, the Masters of Horror series is really what turned me around. Because I love a good anthology series. And there were so many good, like, there were a couple of duds, but more of them were good than not. And because they got established directors, it was like going to a restaurant for like the kind of food you've never had before, and there's a buffet.
Yeah, exactly.
And you try one of everything, like, oh, this is good. I want more of this, you know. And there you go. And so I realized the guys that I like, the guys that I don't like, and now I like horror.
And they They did an adaptation of an H.P. Lovecraft story, and they did an adaptation of a Joe R. Lansdale story. And I like both of those guys as fiction writers.
They focused more on the the directors being the masters, quote unquote. But yeah, they did get into some like classic stories as well.
Mm-hmm.
Which was actually Masters of Sci-Fi got made. Did you ever even hear about that?
No, I heard bad things, possibly from you,
possibly from me or Amanda, because we watched it together. But unfortunately, that was exactly like it was not good. I think they made 6 or 7, and I think like one of them was good, which is quite unfortunate.
That is, yeah.
It was just not, and I don't even know where to begin. It was just,
well, the thing, for one thing, you know, you can do horror with a really small budget. Sci-fi sort of lends itself to a higher budget.
That's a good point.
And I mean, I'm not saying you can't do sci-fi with a small budget. I mean, you know,
well, but I would say at least half the stories on Twilight Zone were sci-fi-ish.
Yeah.
And that show didn't have a huge budget. They pulled it off. They could pull off a sci-fi story with two guys in a room. I mean, you don't.
Yeah, that's true.
It's just writing. Like, I see what you're saying, and you're right, but I also think that, you know, nowadays, with our fancy CGI and whatnot,
in our crazy workaday world,
we've come to expect, oh, sci-fi means, you know, big robots and big explosions or big hideous piles that are meant to be robot. All right, sorry. I'm sorry.
I'll just be happy to look at, like, an alien. Just, yeah. You know, hanging out. Hey, Matt.
You know, you know, a little green guy with antennae, you know, beep, beep, beep. That's fine.
Hope you enjoyed the show, dum-dum.
Hello, dum-dums.
Oh, God damn. go away, Kazoo.
I can only do hello, dum-dum, so you're lucky.
It's just like...
Oh, and his little... His little sound.
I love the idea of an effeminate alien going to prehistoric Earth to drive a caveman insane.
But I'm just thinking from a writing standpoint, it's like, okay, we got this show that's a ripoff of The Honeymooners in caveman times. That's not enough. You gotta, on top of that, you gotta throw in an alien too.
It's just like, we've got this show about cavemen, you know, living sort of modern day life, and we're completely out of ideas.
Like, and they did the, you know, the elephant, like, vacuum cleaner, and the bird, you know, doing the, you know, and the dinosaur doing the quarry thing, and like, you could do that forever. And no, we need an alien. That's what'll fix this.
What's popular right now? Space. People love space.
Well, we got that Jetson show. No, not enough.
No, that's space. we need space cavemen.
Yes. All right, so the final verdict on the Avatar teaser, since I don't know what to make of it yet, you had decided moist and scared?
Yeah.
Moist and scared.
I would, what do you call it? I would, all right, we'll go with moist.
Okay.
All right.
So be it.
Write that down.
Write it in your copybook. Okay, next question is from... Actually, you know what? I'm going to skip around because I saw a... relevant question.
A good question.
Well, no, they're all from Flonk, so...
Oh, yeah, so a good question.
Flonk, for those of you who don't know, and it's weird that there are people who don't know, but apparently people listen to this that aren't in our little circle, so... Kevin Lynch, a.k.a. Flonk, is a guy we know from the same place where we met on a comic book message board. He co-wrote a webcomic with us for a time. Good guy, funny guy. His microphone is made apparently of string and
a dead cat
and a buzzing insect, because there was some sound.
If you can picture a man yelling into a cup on a string, and the string is broken and the cup is made of cement.
Also, the man is dead.
Also, the man is dead and the cat is on fire.
then you got Flonk, right? Oh, incidentally, yes, cup. So... We're not ever explaining that one, incidentally, just so you know. Flonk asks, or says, rather.
Flonk writes.
He writes, "Dear Strongbad," which is already, he's already off to a good start there. On a previous podcast, you talked about the shark kiddie pool. Have you seen the inflatable sinking Titanic slide? Now your child can pretend to be one of the 1,517 people killed in this horrifically fun tragedy. And he provides a link, which we will share in our show notes.
You know what? I actually think I've seen the inflatable sinking Titanic slide.
It really is the ship sort of at a 45-degree angle, and at the bottom of where the ship would be sinking into the water is a pool for you to swim in.
There's a tiny man bouncing off of a tiny propeller.
No, there's actually a working propeller for you to play.
No, I have seen that... What was the question? Do we have an opinion on it, or
have you seen it?
Have we seen? Yes, we've seen it. It's very nice.
You provided the link, so of course we've seen it. I actually
have you seen this picture.
Better one or two? I was actually trying to be the grandmaster of Segway that I am, I was thinking, wait, we talked about Titanic. Wait, I got the perfect thing. Wait, oh, we're not talking about that anymore.
Aww.
That would have fit really well had I done it 5 minutes ago.
Every time you mention a Segway, I just picture you riding past on a Segway and sort of taking the new topic with you. It's a beautiful image and one that I enjoy.
Do I look like Job or just...
No, I just like the idea of you tooling around in a Segway.
Fair enough.
With Job written on the basket.
No, it says president, but I dropped my P, so it says resident. We were talking the other day on the Twitter, on the internet there.
As we are wont to do.
That the kids like these days. About these Segway dealership here in Seattle, which actually does exist. Although, unfortunately, when I first came here and looking for an apartment, I saw it and I thought it was a full-fledged just Segways and nothing else place. And it now occurs to me...
Segway City? We sell Segways and that's all?
Segway City! Segway City! But it
down
out,
on Highway 10!
It turns out that they were only sort of putting those out front back in 2006, which, I guess because they were popular? I don't know. I'm guessing because Arrested Development made them popular?
Well,
I don't know.
2006 was the year of the Segway.
No. apparently it's a Vespa dealer that also carries Segways, and that was a grand disappointment to me. And
so
I don't know
for all your gay vehicle needs.
But we had this, and this is Chris Page contributed more to this than I did. I certainly don't want to be a joke thief and steal someone else's material.
Like some people,
like noted joke thief Will Wheaton, in fact,
like that noted joke thief.
Yeah. But we had this, and actually, I believe Nick T, our friend from the UK, was also involved in this scenario. It was one of those we were just throwing jokes back and forth. But essentially, it comprised of Chris, who is a little injured at the moment. He had a bit of an accident. His leg's a bit hurt right now. And we pictured him zipping around on a Segway and being in some kind of a high-speed chase via Segway. And the mental image of that. And all the trappings that come with the standard cliche Hollywood high-speed chase, only on a Segway.
God, that would be awesome.
Two guys carrying a pane of glass, each of them riding on a Segway. A fruit vendor carrying fruit on a Segway. Just everything but on a Segway. And it was beautiful, and I hope one day a movie makes that happen.
Segways flying through the air like in a Frank Miller comic.
I wanted to draw Segways.
Packed with whores and dinosaurs.
That was his excuse for the one scene in Sin City that takes place at the tar pit. I wanted to draw a dinosaur.
Well, that explains an entire issue of To Hell and Back. Not that I want to talk about Frank Miller at all, ever.
No, I think we've done enough of that. We don't need to do any of it on the mic. So, moving on.
Away from Frank Miller as quickly as possible.
Flunk, once again, asks... Whose life ended worse, Orson Welles or Marlon Brando?
Didn't Marlon Brando actually explode?
I'm not sure. I mean, I know you're kind of making light of that. You do realize that that is a real condition that people have.
Exploding? Yes, I saw the documentary on that.
People explode meaning of every life. Day.
People are never not exploding. Okay.
Yes. I don't want you to. You know, it's a serious condition and. We are sort of, building an audience here, and I don't want to alienate anyone. And
you don't want to alienate anyone who has exploded.
Exactly. Let's keep it, you know. I actually don't know how Marlon Brando died, and I'm sort of stalling to find out here. Rising to the Top, The Godfather.
Well, you better hurry up, because I'm going to start singing the Owls Looking for Stuff on the Internet.
Please don't sing that song. I don't know what it is, but I don't want to hear it. Comments on Jews. Oh.
So Marlon Brando was killed by exploding Jews.
Whoa, I didn't say that. Let's not say things we can't take back.
All right.
Wow, try to parse that sentence. on July 1st, 2004, Brando died age 80. The cause of death was intentionally withheld. So I believe he exploded.
Yeah, I have no proof that says otherwise.
Orson Welles just failed to death. So I don't know which of those is worse.
I just picture him like in the alleyway, just please, I just want to make a movie.
Well, I mentioned this previously. He at the end he was begging Steven Spielberg for money to make a movie, And of course, this whole generation of filmmakers came up worshiping, you know, reviving Citizen Kane and the Ambersons and all that. And, you know, he's like, good, I'm finally a star. People respect me again. Give me money. No, I don't
now,
think so.
Who are you again? I'm Orson Welles, you fool.
It's a lot of shit, you know that?
I've destroyed entire cities with my movies.
So I'm going to say, okay, so basically the question is exploding versus failing to death, which is worse?
I got to say failing to death, probably worse.
Yeah, exploding ideally would sneak up on you.
Yeah.
One day you're, you know, French kissing Larry King, the next day, boom.
Next day you're exploding on a wafer-thin mint.
Yeah, that's perfectly fine.
Mm-hmm.
Marlon Brando as Mr. Creosote is perfectly fine.
I'm like, I can't eat another bite, I'm stuffed. Better get a bucket, I'm gonna throw up.
It's wafer-thin.
Fuck off.
This is someday, comedy gold here. We don't need guests at all, do we?
Someday, and on a day that may never come, I may ask you for a favor. I may ask you to clean up my entrails with a mop.
That's not bad.
Hand me my tiny cat. I found this in the studio parking lot.
All right, moving
on. He just swallows it like a boa constrictor.
I think Unicron did that. I think Orson Welles actually did that. I think there's footage of him.
Don Corleone, the heads of the five families are here, and oh, I can see you're eating.
Maybe I'm thinking of that scene where he's got the orange in his mouth, and I'm just substituting.
No, spit out Fredo.
All right, moving on. Flonk asks again. Flonk asks. There are questions from other people. Don't worry. There are
He's
many
our number one fan. Number one fan. Number one fan.
He didn't get out of the cock-a-doodie car. All right, you dirty bird. Dear Al and or Matt, are either of you left-handed? Isn't it awesome? Flonk. No.
I am not left-handed.
No, and shut up about left-handed people. They're freaks.
I have something to tell you. I am not left-handed.
We haven't ruled those out yet. Those are fine. Okay. Just checking the list is getting longer, and I'm just making sure.
I know something you don't know either. What's that? I'm not left-handed either.
All right.
Oh, shit. What was it? God damn it.
Yeah, moving on. People can watch these movies on their own. They don't need you to do them for them.
I'm also willing to do the Vincini bit.
If you do that, I'm going to do the entire fucking baseball monologue from The Untouchables.
Now you might think the Iocane powder is in this glass.
A man. A man stands alone at a plate. I'll do it, I swear. We're like at a standoff here. Like, we got guns pointed at each other. You kill him, you die next.
You've made one of the classic blunders.
All right. Stop it.
Okay. Okay, moving on.
All right. Hey, this one's from Flonk.
Wow, what a surprise.
What a surprise. I saw a guy walking down the street today with his cat perched on his head. How cool is that? It wasn't.
Yeah.
It wasn't Jim. Jim is a guy we know. I don't know why he said that.
Yeah, well, I saw a werewolf drinking a pina colada at Trader Vic's, and his hair was perfect. And he ate a cat.
Just won't let that go, will you? Damn it, it's funny. Let me try it this way. All right. Our next question is actually an audio question.
Dear Al and Matt, I just wanted to tell you guys that I think you have ruined my life. Because every other time I see someone get hurt, or I see someone doing something stupid, I hear that music playing in my head. You know, that song, you know, it goes dun 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 dun. Yeah, ever since you guys talked about that Shake Hands with Danger safety film, I can't stop watching it or looking stuff up about it. I am enamored by this piece of filmmaking, and it's taking over my life. It's ruining my life. I can't get any work done. I can't enjoy things like I used to. I don't even know what to think anymore, guys. Why did you do this to me? I mean, why? What have I ever done to you? I think that we're all friends here, you know. I mean, we've met a couple times in person. You know, it was cordial. It was good. No problems there. And yet you did this to me. You ruined my mind. I don't think I like that. You guys are mean. I'll talk to you later. Bye.
Well, that mail actually came to us from Pat Loika, a friend of the show. Great guy. Makes great comics. Good, fun guy to talk to. Pat, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah, the song's a little catchy, but I'm sure it'll make its way out of your head anytime now. I mean,
yeah. It's a fun little song, but, you know, all things go eventually.
Yeah, these things pass, so fear not.
The thing to do is to stop thinking about it, you know. Get your mind on something else.
That's really the best advice we can give. So.
Yeah.
All right.
Thanks for calling. I went back and listened to, I think, was it episode 1 or episode 2 that we did that?
What, were we?
Where we played Shake Hands with Danger originally.
Oh, 2?
I guess it doesn't really matter. I went back and listened to it again, and I realized that I called the guy Four-Fingered Brown.
Instead of Three-Fingered Joe.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know where that came from, but
rookie
I like
mistake.
It.
Yeah, I do too. And actually, our friend Gav Brown, I now refer to him as Four-Fingered Brown. which he loves and I'm sure can't get enough of.
Do it again. I'm not doing it again. Al, do it again.
He's Irish. To do your Irish voice for us, man.
Do my Irish voice. I need you. Fuck. Not now, here, not in front of the back. I need you to call me Four-Fingered Brown. Wow. Later on, I'm gonna kick Matt's ass for this terrible impression.
Wow.
Tart, tart, tart.
Now you got it. That's where you hone in on it. Tart, tart, tart. Incidentally, as we record this, our good friend Jabson, is actually raving. He had just listened to a recent episode raving about your vocal abilities.
My vocal abilities.
That's what he's saying. I love Robot Matt's impressions. And I said, you mean his impression? And he said, what do you mean? The guy's a regular Rich Little. Can he do Rich Little?
I don't even know who Rich Little is.
You're kidding me.
No.
Rich Little is the guy through the 80s, and he's still around, who does lots of voices, and they all sound like the exact same voice. He thinks he's Mel Blanc, and he's really not.
So they would literally put anyone on stage back in the 80s.
Well, you gotta remember, you know, we only had 3 channels. I mean,
Here's a stand-up comedian. Here's a guy that sounds like everyone else in the world. Here's a guy who will professionally crush watermelons with a hammer. Here's his twin brother who will do the exact same thing.
Okay, let's put a pin in that Gallagher thing for a minute, because I got something to say there. But now, Rich Little was in Futurama. That's where you'll have heard him. He did the Howard Cosell in the boxing, the gender bender.
Oh, yeah.
And of course, at this point, you probably don't know who Howard Cosell is.
Let's get ready to pay rights guy.
No, not that guy. Don't.
Oh, really?
Don't you say
that. Cut that out.
We're really trying to keep this legit here. No, this is Howard Cosell.
That guy. Okay.
Which actually, one of the great lines on that show, which was, I'd like to mention that being a reanimated head in a jar, I pray for death. Or something along those lines.
The feeling is more than mutual.
Yeah, exactly. But really, Rich Little is to vocal impersonation as the Police Academy sounds guy is to sound effects.
Or as dog is to cat.
I think mine was better.
Yeah, well.
A little too on the nose. I mean, I'm basically pitching you Die Hard in a Building. But, you know, it's basically, that's what I'm saying. Okay, back to the Gallagher thing real quick. You are correct that there is Gallagher and there is his lesser successful younger brother, Gallagher 2. Most people don't realize there is a Gallagher 3.
That's history's greatest tragedy.
I worked not directly with him, but near him. He worked at the... I worked in the same place as he did. I didn't interact with him on a daily basis. I worked at
interact with him with as little as possible. Hey, Al, I'm Gallagher 3.
No, here's his deal. He worked. Okay, first of all, he worked on a Navy base at the Naval Test Pilot School. This is where I worked. A lot of the astronauts go through here. Like it's where Naval Test Pilots go. They test aircraft. Awesome place to work. Like really cool. Like basically one of every kind of airplane, one of every kind of helicopter. Really neat. This guy was like an engineer or something. And yeah, crappy little town I lived in. Just like the Navy base was pretty much all we had going on. But out in town, we had some bars, some nightclubs, and he would occasionally perform as Ron Gallagher. And the posters would have Gallagher in 72-point type and Ron right above it in like 3-point type. And he would try to, like, he would wear the striped shirt and the little beret, and he would, I believe he did the watermelon deal, and he had the locals convinced, wow, Gallagher came here to our little town.
Why are we excited about that?
And he looked enough like him because he was his brother that he pulled it off.
And Gallagher, too, was also his brother, right? Like, these were three brothers,
yeah.
One act.
I believe so. I could be wrong about this. If anyone knows differently, please feel free to correct me. I believe the first Gallagher Prime, came out and did his bit. And somebody realized, like, one of his brothers realized, wait, he can't copyright my last name. I could go perform as Gallagher because my name is also Gallagher. And then the third one said, well, fuck, I want in on this deal.
Free idea to anyone listening. That's a movie.
The three Gallaghers?
The three Gallaghers. And at the end, they fight to the death with hammers.
That would be okay with me.
Oh my god. That it just the concept of it just fascinates me. I
imagine that there are more than three. What I think is it's like there's like a cloning machine or like a something that keeps making copies and each one gets less good. It's like Multiplicity, each one is less good every time you go.
I like the idea that this is the Gallagher of Earth 2 and he fought in World War 2. And this is Gallagher 3 and he's a supervillain.
Exactly. His stripes are the reverse color and I don't know, he wears the beret on his ass or something. And the watermelons smash him in Soviet Russia, Gallagher. Yeah, all right. Enough of that.
That was my next go-to of shit people will watch in the 80s on and we'll watch a guy who's from Russia.
Here's the thing, we touched on this a little bit when Chris Coleman was here last week. He has done stand up and he was there in New York, I think, at the tail end of this. There was a time when stand-up comedy was like being a rock star. There was a brief period in the late 80s, early 90s. I think it started when Eddie Murphy put out, back when Eddie Murphy was funny, he put out his concert films. He put out Delirious and then he put out Raw. And they went like through they brought in shitloads of money and everyone loved him and quoting him all the time. And he really played up the rock star angle too. He dressed like fucking Michael Jackson. He had like the I don't know if you've seen like the purple leather outfit he had.
I think I remember that.
He looked like a ridiculous rock star, and you know, so he was fucking Eddie Murphy. He was like on top of the world. Let him. I'm not begrudging him that, but it gave everyone the idea. Hey, wait, comedy equals you know putting
me
on
too.
Like I could be a big star just like him. Well, no, you got to be funny also.
I could do that. I'm funny.
It's just like every shitty band thinking, oh well, Nirvana made it big, so can I. Well. No, just, Nirvana was kind of good. You're really not.
But I have a flannel shirt, and I don't wash my hair.
Yeah, no, you need. And that it was the exact same thing going on with comedy. And so for a long time, MTV was showing comedians all the time, and I mean, it was this huge deal. Comedy clubs were opening everywhere. It was this really big thing, very briefly. And during that time, that's when all those guys came up with your Yakov Smirnoffs and your Gala guys and your. I'm trying to think of what a gaggle of Gallagher is, and I'm drawing a blank.
We are Gallagher. We are Legion.
Oh, Lord. All right.
I'm just picturing them as like Agent Smith in the shitty Matrix movies. Just dogpiling Keanu Reeves in a vacant lot.
Yeah, the only good part in those movies, I thought.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm trying to figure out where the watermelon fits into all that. All right, I think we've
watermelon was just a red herring.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
And with that, I think we've squeezed every last bit of comedy out of Gallagher. Probably a lot more than he's ever squeezed out himself.
We can only hope.
Although I will say, I will honestly say, I have laughed at his material. Not his melon smashing. Lord, no. But,
comedy gold, though, that is.
I think he got locked into that. I think he did it once on a goof, and he got stuck doing it, is my personal opinion. And as a guy on his 67th review of the fucking Transformers that will never end, I can kind of relate to that. But
I just picture him in hell having to smash watermelons for all eternity.
That's what I mean. You commit to a bit, and like you got to keep doing it. And you know, in a very limited capacity, I can relate to that. But no, really, his actual act, the words that he says before he gets to that point, he's got a couple of good bits on language, like on how we, you know, how we pronounce words, and like why do good and food not rhyme because they're spelled the same, you know, stuff like that. And he gets a couple little like kind of clever things. It made me laugh a couple times.
The other thing I love about Gallagher is that he apparently has a feud with Joel Hodgson.
Really?
Really. I remember reading this somewhere, so it's entirely possible I made it up.
How can you feud with Joel Hodgson?
I don't know, but the concept of it is awesome. Again, if you want to make a movie where Joel Hodgson has to destroy an invasion of Gallagher's, I would watch it.
Now we've got our villain. Because, I mean, really, you said there should be a movie about the three Gallaghers, and you're not wrong. But now, this shouldn't be a separate movie. This is the same movie.
Oh, yeah.
Now we've got our antagonist.
God, that's so awesome.
I think it's important for us right now to claim copyright on this idea. We need to develop this. We need to make the Gallagher story.
We were originally going to throw that out as a free idea to people listening, but you know what? This is ours. Copyright, 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 trademark.
Absolutely.
2009.
Okay.
Sarcastic Voyage Industries.
Thank you for saying the correct name, incidentally.
I had to that time. It's important now.
Copyright Muppet Labs. Damn it, that's not right.
Gah! Welcome to Muppet Labs.
Me, 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 me. All right, moving on. Our next question comes from Flonk.
Hi there, Al and Matt. First time caller, long time listener. I was out to eat the other day and I ordered a bacon cheeseburger, as I'm prone to do. And when I got it, whoever made it had put the bacon underneath the cheese. Why would somebody do that? What's wrong with people? I'll hang up now and listen to your answer.
Okay, so what do you think?
Ignoring the fact that, you know, Flonk is a man who is very passionate about his bacon.
It's true, and I gotta say, he was way ahead of the curve on that. He was not a bandwagon jumper. He was not like, oh, the internet loves bacon, so bacon. No, he was on the bacon train before it even left the station.
Yeah, no, he was a fan of strips of pig ass long before anyone else was.
Absolutely, and he rightfully deserves the title Bacon King.
I am the Bacon King.
That said, however,
here's the thing. I don't really see the problem with putting the cheese on the bacon,
That's what I was going to say, too. Fucking, you got bacon, eat it. Shut up.
Yeah. It's like, what is it? Tastes different because it's like because it's above the cheese rather than below it?
Well, yeah, I'm sure you know people who eat like that, who won't let their food touch or won't, like...
Are you disassembling your burger beforehand so that you can get... I mean, I can understand if you want to get to the bacon first, but then, you know, you can probably just ask them to give it to you separately.
Plus, you know, cheese is delicious. Like, I would not complain like, if you took a delicious food and put another delicious food on it. Like, no, it's...
I mean, if we're talking about that, like, American processed shit that McDonald's uses, I can understand that. But
I give Flonk more credit than that.
But, I mean, like, if you're eating a genuine cheeseburger with genuine cheese, then, like, you know... Dude, you're doing all right.
Yeah, don't complain about, you know, what order the bacon comes in. Just fucking eat your bacon.
You got a burger with cheese and bacon on it. That means you're doing better than I am right now because I don't have one. I want one.
I had one for lunch, actually, and it was quite tasty. Oh. And incidentally, I slathered it in mayonnaise.
Excellent. Is there a way to put, like, an audio hashtag in? Because, you know, that'll be... That'll be fun. That'll be funny 3 days from now.
Yeah, no, more than three. It'll be 10 days from now.
Yeah, people.
People will remember the brief hour that we spent being hilarious on Twitter about mayonnaise and 10 days prior to this.
Yeah, it's important that we document that.
Absolutely. What we need is a show historian.
Yes.
So anyone willing to do that, please let us know. podcast@algar.com. Okay, our next question. Hey, guess who our next question is from?
God, I hope it's not from Flonk.
Oh, well, I hate to disappoint you.
You'd love to disappoint me.
It's true. Okay, let me. I'm gonna have to do this whole thing here. So let me. It's a bit of a long one. All right. Our letter here comes from Kevin Lynch, and it reads, "Dear Al and Matt, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it will mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuckles, but he was most certainly part of the family. We used to listen to your podcast every Sunday morning at 2. 2! And if you could dedicate today's song to him, it would really mean a lot." All right, here's the thing. We actually...
Can we get another take on that?
No, we actually discussed this. Because we both know how to answer this, and it's not fair to only let one of us do it. And really, what we should do is explain to you how to answer this correctly.
All right.
This is a public service. I will, right here, insert the recording of what we're talking about. But more importantly, you need to know there's some basic mechanics of how to do this.
Trust us. This is going to come up.
Hi, this is Casey Kasem. American Top 40 has moved to a new time. I hope you'll join me this Saturday morning and every Saturday morning at 2. 2? Now, we're up to our long-distance dedication. And this one is about kids and pets and a situation that we can all understand, whether we have kids or pets or neither. It's from a man in Cincinnati, Ohio, and here's what he writes. Dear Casey, this may seem to be a strange dedication request, but I'm quite sincere, and it'll mean a lot if you play it. Recently, there was a death in our family. He was a little dog named Snuckles, but he was most certainly a part of... Let's go start again. From coming out of the record. Play the record, okay? Please. See, when you come out of those up-tempo goddamn numbers, man, it's impossible to make those transitions, and then you got to go into somebody dying. You know, they do this to me all the time. I don't know what the hell they do it for, but goddamn it, if we can't come out of a slow record, I don't understand it. Is Don on the phone? Okay, I want a goddamn concerted effort to come out of a record that isn't a fucking up-tempo record every time I do a goddamn death dedication. Now, make it, and I also want to know what happened to the pictures I was supposed to see this week. Since the last goddamn time, I want somebody to use his fucking brain to not come out of a goddamn record that is, that's up-tempo, and I gotta talk about a fucking dog dying.
Okay, that was Casey Kasem.
Casey Kasem.
The voice of American Top 40, of Shaggy from Scooby-Doo, some assorted
Robin.
Voices from the Transformers and so on. But you can't, like, we couldn't just answer this as Casey Kasem. You got to go deeper than that. Because
we thought about it, but you know what? We're better than that.
We are. So as a public service to you, we're going to tell you how to answer this message. Matt, if you'll begin.
Oh, God.
Or not.
And now I'm blanking on it. Do you want to take over here for a sec?
Well, it's kind of a slow boil. You gotta start with your earnest answer. You gotta say, okay, let's play. No, we'll do it again. No, we gotta have an effort to do a goddamn up-tempo goddamn record on a goddamn death dedication. You know, it's an escalating thing.
You'll observe that Al started quietly and calmly, like a collected person and a professional, and then slowly he built into complete insanity. Let's see that again.
Well,
he starts slowly.
Well, Flonk, we'll play your... let's try it again. Okay. Oh, we gotta make a concerted goddamn effort coming out of an up-tempo record.
Here it is.
Goddamn death. Is Don on the phone?
That's the key. This is the key part here. You have to remember to ask if Don is on the phone.
I don't.
So that you can get the goddamn pictures.
Where are the goddamn pictures?
Damn pictures.
I was supposed
there.
To see? That's the key right there. You gotta. But it's an up. Like it's a goddamn up tempo impersonation. You gotta.
It is a goddamn up tempo.
And we can get much more meta than this. Believe us. Fucking ponderous, man. All right, fucking... moving on.
Ah, shit.
Nathaniel Purcell, a.k.a. Natty P, asks, when can I be a guest star? I need to field this one, actually. Well, Nat, I recorded 2 podcasts with you some time ago. I know Chris Coleman, who was also on the show, recorded some stuff with you. I expect perhaps some other people did, too. Perhaps if you made this material available to the internet... and therefore had something to promote when you came on our show, we would be more likely to invite you to our show.
Ball's in your court, man.
That's all. Next.
That's all.
Our next one comes from... Oh, Lord. Okay, we're through the Flonk stuff now. I kind of wish we weren't, because... Oh, boy. This message comes from... Not from our friend Gav Brown that we mentioned earlier, but from the clown made of wool that belongs... or I don't want to say belongs. I don't want to insult him. That lives with...
His roommate.
This is the thing. Mr. Schmlown. S-M-L-O-W-N. Mr. Schmlown. Is a clown made of wool. I think he's 2 or 3 feet tall, if I'm not mistaken.
If he's an inch.
And you must refer to him as though he is alive. You must not imply in any way that he is a stuffed toy, that he's a doll. He is real. Don't say it. God, don't say it. Say he.
Or he will come for you.
And
in the night.
I will provide a link in the show notes to, he has his own Facebook page. By all means, feel free to send him a friend request if you like.
Go there and gaze upon the true face of horror.
Yes, Mr. Schmlown. That said, Mr. Schmlown writes, and he has his own email address, incidentally.
If you'd like to contact Mr.
Schmlown. I just realized how far Gav has taken this.
I think he might be ill.
Mr. Dash Schlown at yada yada. Oh, my Lord. He writes. You got it? Are you together? Are you with me?
Christ. Okay.
All right.
Okay.
Right,
let's hear this letter from Mr. Schwab.
On a goddamn up tempo. All right.
This is going to kill me.
Dear sir or madam, why have you violated the draconian frontier? Yours grinningly, Malvern Humphrey Schmlown, Mr. P.S. What does P.S. stand for? Matt, I am terrified of Mr. Schmlown, so I'm going to let you answer this.
Are you kidding me?
Get under that bus.
Bullshit.
Why have we violated the draconian frontier?
Are we clear on what the draconian frontier is?
Well, between you and me, absolutely not, but I don't want to tell him that.
Shit, okay. We had to do it for, science.
Political reasons? Oh, man.
Yeah, scientific political reasons.
Yes.
About the about boundary wars between the draconian nation and the nation of
Fredonia.
Fredonia. Yes, okay. We had to maintain the boundary, whatever the hell I just said, about the thing to keep the gold from being taken from the Draconian Empire, because you can't have that not happen. It's important to keep that gold where it is, and for reasons ow, come on. Fucking Christ.
No, I got nothing.
Economy! To save the economy!
Incidentally, I just sent you a picture of Mr. Schmlown, just so you can see what we're dealing with here.
Got here. Where's that conversation? What the hell is it? Ah!
So you got it then. All right. Perhaps it's best we don't have a guest this week. I think it's better that we've only scarred one person instead of, an innocent bystander.
I just want the people that I love to know what's going to happen to me when I'm gone. When you find my desecrated corpse, all the entrails draped around the room, I want you to know the name of the man who did this to me. I want you to kill Mr. Schlown.
Malvern Chumphrey Schmlown. He did have another.
Curse you!
He did have an additional question.
Oh yeah, that sounds for postscript.
Right. Okay.
Thanks for writing.
Moving on. Oh boy. Oh, and good. The next one also comes from someone who does not appear to be a real person. So we could use two of these in a row.
This can only be a step up.
This one comes from Throbnoxious Flautist. And he writes, you are faced with a quandary. Listen, Two men have broken into your shared homosexual compound. You are in the throes of heavy man love. Bodies, limbs, muscles akimbo. It is Babylonian. The two of you are making manly sex without eye contact on a scale that would please 50 easily. Anyway, these men infiltrate your love abode. They have guns, and they are nude. You are at the very climax of this, the crescendo. What do you do, sirs? What do you do?
Okay, with first of all...
Hang on. With best regards and good intentions, Humdrum Mugu Gaipan.
Okay, well, first of all, I would like to finally lay to rest something that's been bothering me for a long time, okay? Like, I'm really sick of hearing about this. You know, when we make love, we always lock eyes, okay?
It's true.
Always.
It's true. I can't stand mumblers. I can't stand people who don't make eye contact. I can't stand people without a firm handshake. You got to make that connection.
Now, what was the actual question? Because I was so built up with rage.
It's true. I mean, we get very sensitive about our buggery. guns, you know what? It's not important. Let's move on.
All right. Thanks for writing.
Dear sirs, can you help me with a humorous question to be sent to a comedy podcast? I'm totally blanking right now. Warmest regards, Ed. P.S. Mm-hmm. How do you type with those boxing gloves on your hands?
All right, that's a good question, Ed. Whether you're sending a humorous question to, say, a podcast, a comedic podcast, or to an animated WrestleMan, you really want a question that has the most potential for humor. You want something that gives the writers the most stuff to work with. You know, just like give us like lots of stuff to work with and repeat myself over and over again. Shit. Okay. Al, you want to cut in on this? Because I'm dying.
Yeah, that's fine. No, you're absolutely right. You need to give, you know, you need to leave it open for the writers. What you really need to do is write something entirely unlike what you sent us. This is maybe the worst email I've ever seen in my entire life. Try harder.
Oh, and also we use a special apparatus attached to the boxing gloves to type. Thanks for writing.
Come again. Okay. That was not a Simpsons quote. That was not a Simpsons quote. Brewtown Andy writes, Why won't you let me be on the podcast? I'm entertaining. P.S. By reading this, you've already taken one step towards having me on the podcast.
Brewtown Andy, we love you, but you'll talk about sports, and we just can't have that.
It's true. It's absolutely true. You'll talk about what are the sports? Cricket?
Golf?
Australian rules polo?
European football.
Mork? Is Mork a sport?
Yeah, isn't that the one with the skates?
No, I think that's crotchball.
Crotchball, right. Okay. Bowling?
Bowling. Oh, extreme bowling?
Extreme bowling. Disco bowling.
Yeah, ladies bowling.
Extreme frisbee.
Bowler hats. All right, now I'm just saying words. No sports, Andy. We're sorry, but technically we are men, as we previously indicated by the reference to our virile, vigorous, and potent sex lives. But sorry, don't do sports. Don't do fixing cars. In what other ways are we emasculated? I know.
How else
ways.
Are we emasculated? Let me see here. Whew. What do men do?
I can grow a beard, so I got that.
Yeah, I can't even grow a beard.
Okay, so between us, we can grow half a beard.
We can grow half a beard, okay?
I can't fix a car. I know. I'm sure you can't.
Can't fix cars. Can't play sports.
Play sports or no sports. Like, they're two different things. Like, watch, you know, the spectator aspect and the participant aspect are two different things, and we can't do either of them.
I fall over after more than two beers.
I don't drink at all. I haven't had a drink since 2005. And that's I'm not a recovering alcoholic or anything like that. I'm just a wuss.
And also it makes you feel superior to people. Hey, Al, you want a drink? Oh, no, thanks. I don't.
Yeah, pretty much. I look for any excuse to bring it up, actually.
I don't because, you know, I'm awesome.
Right. I don't need alcohol to have fun. It's okay not to drink.
Podcasting is my anti-drug.
Drugs are my anti-drug. Wait, what? No! well, In what other ways are we like girls? Let's
Well, there's my fondness for pretty, pretty dresses.
No, no, I think that's different. That's a whole other thing. Because I mean, really, we're talking more how we're gay, not how we're like women. I guess I think you can be a transvestite and not be a homosexual. I think
that's true. Two
very different things.
And
again, establishing early on the Sarcastic Voyage podcast, friend to all fetishes.
And yeah,
that's not a joke. That's not irony. That's not sarcasm. Really. We're very quickly establishing that, you know.
Oh, except for breath porn. What the fuck, guys?
Breath porn?
That would be the fetish of watching a woman sink to the bottom of a pool and hold her breath for as long as possible. What the fuck, guys? Seriously.
So Guybrush porn.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, fuck those guys. But everybody else, honestly, we're totally serious here. We are open. We like you. We don't think you're freaks. Well, we do, but in a nice sort of all-embracing way.
Yeah.
The pattern was forming. I figured we might as well just call the shape now and say, yeah, that's what it is. You know, there's a guy we're trying to get on the show, and I don't want to tip our hand yet, but there's a guy, and this isn't the only reason I'm saying this, there's a guy I really want to get on the show who's kind of into some alternative stuff, kind of into some weird stuff, and some people might think it's funny. That's really not my angle. I swear to God, it's not. I think he's fascinating. Matt, you know the guy I'm talking about.
Yes, indeed. Basically, in fact,
I'll even go as far as to say this man, seriously, not as a joke, would like to have sex with robots. And I'm trying to get him on the show because I think he would be fascinating to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
We are not here to judge. That's all I'm trying to say.
Listen, whatever you want to do in the privacy of your hopefully bedroom, pool table, wrestling ring, mud pole,
mud
truck,
pole.
Mud pole, truck, deep space,
bowler hat,
cave people.
That's my go-to random object, bowler hat. I don't know. All right,
we're fine with it.
Okay, so we were back to the other list we were making of how we are not men. Let's really get this out there. We can't watch sports. We can't play sports. We can't fix cars. Can't drink.
We like to read.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Big readers. I know there's more. I know there's greater humiliation we can expose ourselves to here. And I'm just drawing a blank now.
I will say this. I was in a fight once.
Really?
Yep.
That is one more fight than I've ever been in. I've never been in a fight.
Yep.
Did you win?
No, I got dragged off a SkyTrain.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's actually kind of badass.
Yeah, it's definitely a thing that happened to me. It's also really depressing, so maybe not the, yeah.
All right, then. Moving on, then.
If people really want to hear the details of the fight I was in, I will relay them. But seriously, it's kind of sad.
Well, speaking on behalf of the show, and the audience may disagree with me here, but I try to steer things. If it's not funny, then no, not really.
Yeah.
If it's just sad, well, maybe we'll do another outtake one. But, nah, that's all right.
All right.
Okay. I think that's it. I thought there was more, but maybe that's... Oh, I can't lift more than, I don't know, 5 pounds? 7 pounds? I don't know. What's the big bag of nachos? I think that's about all I can lift.
Now, see, I can lift heavy objects, but I work in a comic store, so I'm pretty much obliged to...
You work around books, too. Not just comics, but books. And books are fucking heavy.
Yeah. So, once you've hoisted a couple of long boxes across a storeroom, you can, you know... I'm not saying I can bench press a semi, but I mean I can. But I'm not saying.
What do you bench? How much? What do you bench? What's your lats? What's your? How's your pecs? What's your glute?
Four pecs.
Oh God! It's like they talk another language. Those people.
Hey bra.
What?
Hey bra.
Oh hey my bro man. Okay. Okay.
Here, punch my fist. It'll be awesome.
No. Push your chest into my chest. It won't be gay at all.
Look, here's an elaborate handshake to confuse you with. That's the manly thing I can't do. I can't do elaborate high fives.
Oh no, I don't think that's a manly thing. You can do a simple handshake, right?
Yes.
Like a firm grip and a normal handshake.
I used to not have a firm grip, and then without fail, every person whose hand I shook made fun of me.
Yeah, that's a good way to force you to man up, as they say.
So, like, you know, just like an army of my grandparents' friends are like, what do you got there, a dead fish?
And that's the World War II generation. They, you know, they rescued us from evil. So if they say, be a man, you say, yes, sir.
Man up, faggot. Oh, man.
This guy beat the Nazis with his bare hands. I better man up.
You're ruining Christmas, Grandma.
Oh, my. That actually, we had a further question, and unfortunately, I can't get to it.
It's hidden.
Yeah, it's a secret to everyone.
Secret eating. Stack them to the heavens.
Okay, stop that. Stop that, or I'll show you another picture of Mr. Schmlown.
Oh, God. No.
I'll do it.
No.
I swear to Christ, I'll do it.
My finger's on the trigger. No! Don't you do it!
All right.
I'm not going back there, Jim.
I'm not going back, Jim. All right. Unfortunately, Mark Bosco, Bob, who was on the show,
Ray.
sent me a question via Skype earlier. Via Skype, I am. And I don't know if I can get to it.
It was destroyed.
Oh, here it is. And I did it without hanging up on you.
Excellent.
Late-breaking question. Do you have any good jokes about penguins? Wah, wah, wah. When I'm doing my question reading voice, I know how he meant that, but I'm doing the question reading voice. I can't, you know.
How does he spell wah? I just want to know if he spells it the same way I do.
How do you spell it?
H-W-A-C-K.
No,
H-W-A-C-K. So it's more like whack.
Yeah, no, H-W-A-H, wah.
No, that's not bad.
No. So, do we have any jokes about
penguins? I'll take that under advisement. Do we have any jokes about penguins?
Apart from the obvious that he's already made for us.
Didn't we cover that ground?
I think we've covered that ground quite well as far as the Burgess Meredith angle goes.
I mean, as far as the birds go, I don't really have anything that amuses me.
It was fashionable to make fun of them because of the Morgan Freeman thing, but I think
Exactly. I mean, the only thing funny about penguins is that millions of them die every year from killer whales.
I never knew that. That's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, and walrus attacks.
Oh, that's even better.
Yes.
Like that. Now I'm just picturing the Chilly Willy cartoon with that like Norwegian with that horrible walrus. Yeah, he was like Scandinavian and like Chilly Willy. Like, I don't think he even talked usually.
No.
Sort of scurrying around. And...
I hated Chilly Willy.
Did you like any of the Woody Woodpecker?
No, I actually hated all the Woody Woodpecker characters. I thought Woody Woodpecker was a dick.
Yeah, he was a dick, but I don't know. I liked that show. I liked any of those shows where you got an assortment of shorts that were, you know, like each one was 5 or 7 minutes long, and I like that stuff. I mean, obviously Looney Tunes was the best, but I liked Jerry, and I liked when the Disney ones would show up on TV, and I liked the Woody Woodpecker, and there's another one. The Pink Panther. I like those two.
Yeah, the Pink Panther was good. I was a big fan of the Ant and the Aardvark.
Oh, absolutely, and the shark on that too. Actually, there was a shark.
Jesus!
All I remember is he would jump out of the water and go, "Gotcha!" And I always like clap my hands and laugh like a, you know.
I always hid behind the couch because of my deep fear of sharks.
Well, we have long established that.
Yes. The other one that I hated was Casper.
I don't think I ever had Casper.
They used to play that every day after school, and like you know, that sort of just when you got home.
Right.
So like the only thing you wanted to do was watch TV and not move around a whole lot, and the only thing on was Casper. Casper and all the shitty Harvey characters.
Wow, I mean, I know the cast of characters. I read the comics, but you got Richie Rich. You got
There was no Richie Rich.
Richie Rich was a Harvey character, though, wasn't he?
No, I know, but he wasn't on the Casper show. I think he had his own show at one point.
All right. But you got Wendy the Witch, and you got who else?
You had Baby Huey.
Don't know Baby Huey.
I hate with a horrible. Fiery passion.
Yeah, that sounds dreadful.
He was the giant retarded duck in a diaper.
Why did I take a sip before you said that? I was picturing a baby. Oh, Lord. Wait, how did they not get sued by Disney by having a duck named Huey?
Oh, yeah.
You got to think like a lawyer, Matt.
That's a good question.
I'm sure it's a question that's been asked in a court of law.
Maybe that's why Harvey's not around anymore. I know they've been destroyed.
Well, rightfully so. No, they made Casper movies not that long ago.
Yeah. Back when it was still wrong to be attracted to Christina Ricci.
It's never been wrong to be attracted to Christina Ricci. I'm sorry.
The Addams Family?
Yeah, I was there.
Moving on.
Also, pedophiles will not be judged.
Incidentally, pedophiles actually will be judged.
All right. There's so many things I could say that are so tasteless right now that I hope all of you appreciate that I'm biting my tongue right now.
What else? There was Little Audrey's, which sucked.
Oh, yeah, that wasn't very good.
And most of the early Casper shorts were all basically identical. He would go to a school and everyone would run away. And
he
would go
to a kid.
Yeah, I know.
And this is someone else's bit. Like, this is not my, I don't remember who did this first, but pointing out that Casper was a dead kid was a major, like, oh my God, you're right.
The movie didn't help with that one either when they, like, basically told you how he died.
Oh, did they show him alive before he was Casper?
Well, they didn't do that. It's just like he remembered how he died.
Oh, God.
Was Bill Paxton in that movie?
It might have been Bill Pullman.
It might have been Bill Pullman.
One of my online friends has a little mnemonic device that helps you remember. It's like Pax P Pull Poo. I don't remember. It basically, like, Bill Paxton's in good movies and Bill Pullman isn't, or vice versa. I don't fucking know.
And of course, Bill Paxton hangs tight to the ceiling.
Nice. Well done. I didn't get the Casper cartoons. I got the Woody Woodpecker, which I liked. I got the Pink Panther. I got the Looney Tunes. And the Disney ones, for some reason, should have been in that mix. Because, I mean, say what you will about Disney, they had shorts just like everybody else. And
Donald Duck cartoons are hysterical.
Oh, yeah. Like, I think Mickey is maybe the most boring cartoon character ever invented. I don't know how he got out in the front of that whole empire there. But
the only time Mickey was ever funny was when he was doing something with Donald and Goofy.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, and then he was the straight man, and no one likes the straight man.
Mickey on his own, really? Like, name an adjective that describes Mickey Mouse. You can't do it. He's just there.
He's ponderous, man.
Fucking ponderous, man. I mean, that's all he does.
Oh!
Yeah, and Donald Duck is awesome because he's got, like, no control over his temper. He goes fucking nuts. And that's
great. Saw one when I was a kid where he opened shotgun off of a stage into a crowded theater.
Nice.
Which was one of the most awesome things ever.
That's pretty great. And of course, Goofy, you know, screwing things up. I mean, the sport one.
Doing his those awesome how-to shorts.
Oh, yeah. Which would inevitably end with him falling off the cliff. And the...
Oh, ha-ha-hoo-hoo-hee.
Yeah. And even, I mean, they even made some educational ones. And I remember being shown those in school.
The Ludwig von Drake ones, right?
Right.
And this is how we learn to do the money?
Yeah, exactly. You know, reinforcing European stereotypes since 1965.
And this is how the sperm enters the egg.
Gosh.
Like this.
Oh, Lord. Donald Duck, little angry sperm. Now you got an educational shirt going. But yeah, I mean, I was a fan of all of those. And I, like I say, I include the Woody Woodpecker ones in there. You had what? The Chili Willy and...
The rest.
No, really. I'm trying to think of these now.
Andy Panda.
I did not like Andy Panda.
Yeah, fuck Andy Panda. Andy Panda, if you're listening to this, fuck you.
We approve of pedophiles, but we don't approve of Andy Panda. Matt, get on the pedophile train.
I can't. It's creepy in there.
Actually, it's more of a van, right?
It's an unmarked van. Matt, get on the pedophilia train. We have candy. And a puppy.
Oh, and the bear family. No, we don't have the bear family. They had that family of bears that was always trying to...
Was that Woody Woodpecker?
Yeah. Yeah. There's the Looney Tunes one where they're the three bears and the baby's big and stupid and the
right. And the dad's abusive.
Yeah. No, it's a different family. It's like a family of four. And the kid was in college. It was that hilarious old timey college.
Fuck, yes. Oh fuck. The hipster. What's the word I'm looking for here? He went to like bowl sessions.
And he wore like the big coat and like the, you know, he waved the little pennant and it was like,
yes!
You know, like that whole.
Fuck. What? I completely forgot. Yeah. The college bear.
Yeah. That one was good. Because old timey is always comedy gold.
It was sort of in the Norman Normal vein. That sort of same time period.
Yeah, well, it was the same time period, but it wasn't anything like that. It was still pretty hacky. Yeah.
Who else? Now we're just naming people.
People love listening to this podcast to hear us say,
hey, who likes Andy Panda? Nobody. Nobody likes Andy Panda.
Didn't I hear you say you like Andy Panda?
No, I'm pretty sure you heard me say fuck Andy Panda.
Okay. Hang on, I'm
looking up Andy
Panda. Don't sing the song.
Well,
I'm almost there. Stop it. There is no song, is there?
There might be.
There is no Al's looking something up on the internet song. It's all just a...
Well, if you keep looking for stuff on the internet, you're going to find out.
Mel Blanc was the original voice of Woody Woodpecker?
Really?
How did he do that?
Did he escape?
I don't know.
Mel Blanc has escaped from Warner Brothers Studio and is considered armed and voice heavy.
Voice heavy?
He has a multitude of voices.
You couldn't think of a better way to say that than voice heavy?
No, I'm going with voice heavy.
Voice heavy.
Can you think of a...
Wow.
Yeah, voice heavy.
Crumb crisp coating. Okay,
it's very wearying.
There's also Oswald the Lucky Rabbit. I don't remember that, thank Christ.
That's a shame.
No, that looks like
Oswald the Lucky Rabbit.
Yeah, he looks like the old timey Looney Tunes, like Bosco and Honey.
Oh, the sort of bouncing up in one place.
Yeah, with
thing.
The giant. Hey! Yeah, that's all he does.
Hey.
Bounce on your knees. Little singing flower next to you.
Hey. Maybe play the ukulele.
Don't say it.
Hey!
Okay. Dangerously close there with your ukulele reference. All right.
Hey, that's not a reference. That actually happened. They would bounce in one place, play the ukulele, and go, hey!
It's true. And that is where we will leave it. And that is all they say.
And then Betty Boop would perform a striptease.
And she's in a Popeye cartoon too, apparently.
And everything would come to life. It was like being an Evil Dead
with a rape tree.
Yeah, exactly. She'd be like, "Hey, we'll swallow your soul," and then she'd be dragged outside and raped by a tree, and stabbed in the foot with a pencil.
And then they do a sequel, and the exact same thing would happen again.
Yeah, exactly. And then she'd vomit blood out of a fire hose onto Bruce Campbell. Well, God, I would watch the shit out of that cartoon.
Well, maybe we could incorporate that into our Gallagher story somehow. But this just needs to be a running pitch. We need to, like, just keep adding these notes, and eventually we'll have enough for a whole...
We'll either have a movie or a stew.
Okay, about to start wrapping things up here. However, there is something that we've been meaning to mention for weeks now, and keep forget. Actually, it was in the Lost... recordings with Flonk, who has the world's worst microphone, as we've said.
Matt, your microphone is a demon, Flonk.
Your microphone is a dick, is what I thought you were going to say, and that's actually pretty accurate as well.
A demon's dick.
Matt, actually, our own Matt Robotham of of Canada.
of Canada.
Do you know Scott from Canada?
Hey, buddy.
Was on television recently.
It's true.
Unfortunately, not as recently as I would like, as we initially...
Yes, this is no longer topical.
Yeah, we recorded this months ago when it was only a few weeks old, and now it's months old. But on Canada Day, is that correct, in May?
Yes, it was July.
I think. Of course, July, May, whatever.
Every July, Canada grows there.
Do you really mean that?
I was on a Canadian flag. Isn't that the fun of it?
On Canada Day, which is, I guess, their version of sort of the 4th of July, they did.
Actually, it's our version of Arbor Day.
Really?
Yep.
Oh.
Plant a tree, get some syrup out of it, get raped by it.
You don't just have Arbor Day?
No.
I didn't think there was anything inherently nationalistic about Arbor Day. I thought everyone owned Arbor Day.
Nope. Canada's not allowed to have Arbor Day.
Really?
Yeah, we have to have Canada Day.
Oh, Canada Day.
Canada Day.
You can't have enough D's in Canada.
Canada.
You can't spell Canada without D-D-D-D-D-D. All right. On Canada Day this past year.
Canada Day.
Right. I'm an American. That's our pronunciation.
Son of a bitch. Turn my joke on me.
Yeah, I'll do it.
That's how I roll, bitch.
Don't ever say that again. I'll bring the Simpsons reference back. So if you're gonna talk like that,
God damn it, I'm so white.
On Canada Day, which is how I say it, it appeared to me, and correct me if I'm wrong, that they ran an entire day of Canada-related sort of soft news.
Yeah, stories. it was basically. I'm sure you've all seen this before for your various American holidays. You get like a day of fluff piece.
Oh yeah, I'm not singling you guys out at all.
Hey, Canada, we do stuff. We don't do anything.
But this channel ran just all day long, just stuff about how great you guys are. And among that was a celebration, a little fluff piece on a Canadian superhero. Certainly not in my mind the most well-known Canadian superhero. Not Wolverine, not Alpha Flight, but Captain Canuck.
And now
they went to you as the foremost expert on Captain Canuck because you sell comic books to people.
Now here's how it went down. Gather your chairs around, children. It's story time. Are you sitting comfortably? All right, I'll begin. Basically, I got back from lunch and my boss at the book and comic store I work at, which I will not plug here because I'm a dick, basically turned to me and says, "Hey, Matt, how would you like to be on TV?" And of course, like any right-thinking person, I said automatically yes, because I want to suckle at the famed teat as much as anyone. He says to me, "Well, they need you to go on TV and talk about Captain Canuck." To which I replied, "Who?" So the guy calls me and says to me, "Yeah, we're doing a piece on Captain Canuck. Have you heard of him?" "No." "Okay, can you do research in the next week? Can you sound like you know who you're talking about?" I'm like, to go on television? Absolutely. So I went home. I did some research on Captain Canuck at Wikipedia because, you know, why would I devote any more research to this?
Really, that's what the word research means now.
Yeah, exactly.
Google, Wikipedia, IMDb. That's it.
So I went home. I read Wikipedia and I borrowed a Captain Canuck comic from work. And the two things I learned was that A, Captain Canuck is a terrible superhero, and B, his comic is very boring.
and yet, in the clip, you come off fairly knowledgeable, like you've read most of his work, and you don't make him sound horribly boring.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, like...
So not only have you made it on TV, but you're lying on TV, so...
Yeah, exactly. So I'm doing better than most politicians.
Yeah.
That was topical.
Take that, politics.
Now imagine, if you will, a picture of me punching an elephant and a donkey in the face with a big sign on my chest that says foreign policy.
Can I electrocute the elephant with mayonnaise?
Sure.
All right. No one's gonna get that.
No one's gonna get that.
Sorry, just briefly, I can't let that go. We were arguing, for some reason, the merits of mayonnaise versus mustard, and I decided to graft on top of that Tesla versus Edison, and I decided that since Edison electrocuted an elephant to prove Tesla wrong, and failed, by the way, that would be the only way to prove Matt wrong. And all right, I completely killed that joke. So, Captain Canuck.
So I do research into what has got to be the worst comic book character ever, including Matter Eater Lad. basically, the guy is a Mountie In a world where Canada has become the most powerful nation on the planet, presumably through asking for it politely.
As we have established is Canada's way.
Yes, exactly. Captain Canuck is a half was a half-native...
They were going to say half-naked.
He was a half-naked RCMP officer who took some Boy Scouts on a camping trip. And while there, he... While there, he encountered an alien spaceship, and aliens gave him the powers of slightly enhanced strength and speed.
So basically, that's... this is the origin story of the greatest American hero, except he's Canadian.
Except he's Canadian and doesn't have an awesome theme song.
Ah, right. Now, you also mentioned that there are times sometimes when Captain Canuck's modest powers don't get him through, don't quite cut it. What did you say that he does?
Yeah. There's some. I'm flipping through this thing, and the bad guy has him chained to a wall, and his slightly enhanced strength just can't break the chains. So he does he does exactly what you or I would do in that situation. He prays. He prays to God.
A superhero can't get the job done on his own and asks for help from a higher power.
Yeah.
Wow. Does it work?
Yeah. Yes, it does. The chain loosens enough for him to yank it open. So.
So it's not like God comes down from heaven and throws a lightning bolt and like.
I'll save you,
yeah,
Captain.
It's not like super. You know. Well, because I mean, it's not unprecedented. Like you know. There's I'll Thor and there's Hercules and you know there's gods and so forth in comics. Like I could see Yahweh coming down and just being a comic book character, but no, he just loosens the chain slightly. You say?
Yeah, exactly. And this it's not even a one-off thing. Like he does it a lot.
That's his. So really, his power is to ask God to help him.
Pretty much, just please God help me save the day.
Wow. And you had to go on TV and explain
how awesome this was. Yes.
Wow. Well, good job.
Yeah.
Incidentally, this clip is available in our show notes. It's on YouTube, and
you can marvel at how professional I look.
I actually, I will say, like to your credit, and this isn't just me kissing your ass because God, well, why would I do that?
Well, besides the previously established reasons,
right. No, seriously, you come off really well. Like you sound like you know what you're talking about, and you look good on the camera, and you sound all right. And it's a nice appearance. Like I thought, oh God, he's gonna be so awkward. He's gonna be so you know, like I would be like, oh, you know, he talked too much, or he, you know, but no, yeah, came off great.
It was really nice to present a more professional attitude than the guy who is actually doing the bit.
Right, that's true. The whole thing,
you'll be able to see this when you watch the video.
It's fantastic. Good.
As the guy phones and contacts the creator of Captain Canuck and films the telephone that's on speakerphone and texts on his cell phone in the background.
Oh, right. Because rather than showing you stills from the comic or something to go over because they only got the guy's voice, they show you the phone it's coming from in case you don't know where voices come from.
I mean, like I would have used some of the stock footage that I spent an hour filming of me turning pages in a Captain Canuck comic book. But what do I know? All I do is work at a comic store.
Hey, you got on TV.
And podcast. Oh, and I especially enjoyed the fact that he left in the flamboyantly gay guy at the end, yelling "Hi, Mom" into the camera.
Well, that's, you know what that is? That's professional.
Yes, that's exactly what that is.
And on that note, I think we'll be wrapping things up here. Matt, as always, thank you. Sorry to our scheduled guest, Angel Robinson. We will have you back as soon as we can.
We'd love to have you on, Angel.
Yeah, I wonderful woman to talk to, funny and interesting, and just technical difficulties, that's it, and we will have her on soon. Of course, you can follow us on Twitter. I'm Algar, A-A-L-G-A-R. Matt is Robot Matt. Something I haven't pointed out that I should be pointing out, the show notes that I keep referring to, in case you don't know, are at sarcasticvoyage.tumblr.com. And I try to throw in references to anything that we've talked about on the podcast. I try to throw in songs and pictures, and I really try to flesh out the things we're talking about. And God damn it, I put work into these goddamn show
God
notes.
Damn it.
Won't you look at the... It is Don on the phone. No,
where are my goddamn show notes?
Now you're turning into Dr. Venture.
I know what I'm doing.
Walking eye.
It's a walking eye.
And that we could do for 2 hours, by the way. Walking eye. Walking eye.
Brock, thank God. He's trained his panda to put me in a bag.
Is it Andy Panda?
Oh, God, I hope not. Fuck you, Andy Panda.
Okay, on that note, people, really...
Oh, and what do you call it? If you're listening to this, please do give review us on iTunes, positive, negative. Anything we can get would be great. Thanks.
Yeah, input always. Of course, if you want us to answer your stuff, podcast@algar.com. And really, we said this before, and we'll say it again. Really, thank you for listening, guys.
Absolutely.
This thing has taken off a lot quicker and a lot bigger than we expected, and we're so happy about that. And hopefully we'll not suck enough that you're going to keep listening. So
we love all of you, except you, Flonk.
And Andy Panda. Fuck that guy.
And fuck Andy Panda.
Okay. That's all. Thank you.
Good night.
Musical interlude.
And now it's time for our long-distance dedication. This next song goes out to Snuckles, the dead dog, and it comes from Pat Loika of San Diego.
Turn it off! What if it bumped that control by accident? You'd be mincemeat by now. What have I told you? You don't work on equipment when the engine's running.
Well, I told him not to touch anything. All right, I guess I wasn't thinking.
You weren't thinking? You mean you'll work on engines and machinery and not think of your own personal safety? Here. Shake hands with danger.
And there's a macho thing involved here. Glenn doesn't want his friend to sneer at him for being overly cautious. So, Glenn shakes hands with danger. We'll be right back.
That was the Shake Hands with Danger remix, our long-distance dedication. I should mention that that was not made by me. That was made by a very funny man named Graham Stark on behalf of LoadingReadyRun.com, which is a very funny website. Matt is a big fan. Check them out. And the song is used by permission, so thank you, Graham, and hopefully we'll send one or two people to your site because it's worth checking out.
The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is published weekly and is available via iTunes or on the web at algar.com. Audience feedback can be sent to podcast@algar.com or sent via Twitter to @algar. The Sarcastic Voyage podcast is written and produced by Ron Algar Watt and the featured guests, unless otherwise noted. All material contained herein is the property of Ron Algar Watt. Copyright 2009, Algar Production. Reasonably tasteless slices of his earlier days, for he was a suburban child of the 70s.